Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our question and answer series, I was talking about people that try to change the gospel so that there is no repentance. Listen closely today.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Today you have people who try to change the gospel to a point that there is no repentance. Yet Jesus went everywhere, we find in Mark chapter 1, preaching repentance. As a matter of fact, in Acts 20, verse 21, the Apostle Paul preached it this way: repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. All sin is against God, so repentance towards God, faith, Christ paid my penalty in full. So repentance, some of these people say that, well, repentance just means to change the mind. Now, the repentance that really is repentance, it's not saying, well, I've got to confess every sin I've ever committed. No, you'll never get there. You don't even know half of them until later you find out through reading the Bible, you know, I didn't know that was wrong. Repentance, though, is a change of mind. It's to say, okay, instead of me, it's going to be the Lord. I'm receiving him as my Lord and Savior. That means that he's in charge. He's the God of my life. He can correct me. He can spank me. He can encourage me. He can do whatever he wants, but he is the Lord. There's a repentance. I don't want to walk in sin. I don't want to walk in the former life. Sometimes you say walk in sin, people say, oh, he's a drunkard. He's a drug addict. He cheated on his wife. But sir, repentance was a true repentance toward God, trusting in Christ and Christ alone. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you receive it. There's a change. Why? Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. So don't look for the applause of men. Rather, the right way is to look for the approval of God. But in the measure of things, if it goes against his word and his holiness, then it is sinful and wrong, especially in the house of the Lord. God is not mocked. He is long-suffering, but judgment does begin at the house of God. Now, in verses 2 and 3 there that we read of chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, he said, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of men, for as much as ye were manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Now get what he's saying here. Okay, we came to this town. We came to Corinth. We led you to Christ. We taught you in the Word. And then we left and go to other towns and preach the gospel. These guys came in behind, and they tried to change everything that just took place. My friend, we're not here to change the way of God, okay? We don't do that. We don't think that God has to come up to the culture. The culture better change to God. So make sure, sir, that you measure everything by the Word of God and how it measures up. So here they are, they're in these guys' hearts. They were faithful ministers. They taught them the Word of God. Noah, who is in Faith's Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11, preached for 120 years. People didn't get saved. So you can say, yeah, see, when you have all the standards, when you have all that stuff and you preach about God's judgment, people just aren't going to get saved. People aren't going to get right. And people aren't going to like you. And people are not going to be a part of that. Everyone that heard Noah realizes one day, when they're standing before God, they're without excuse. And Noah is in faith's hall of fame there in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. So when I look at that, I say, God didn't measure it by the numbers. We say, well, only 8 people got saved. Well, some could have gotten saved before the flood started. They might have died before the flood. But really, everyone that heard Noah preaching, they may have hated it. They didn't want to hear it. They may have ran it down. They may have mocked him. They may have scorned him. But he turned them to righteousness. But he couldn't make them receive it. They that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever, but we cannot make them get saved. They have to receive it. That's God's way. They must receive it to be saved. But when I go out and witness to anybody, I've turned them to righteousness. Most of them don't get saved, but they were turned to righteousness. And the Lord says, you'll shine as the stars forever. So be that witness out there. Be that person. Now, sir, I know you're concerned about these things because it's what you're seeing. And you've probably talked to some people. And they've said some things that I've just said that you think, boy, that's bad. Now, I could name some people in my church that had lives that were not right. They were very wicked, not godly at all. As a matter of fact, some, I watched them grow from that wicked life to walk in Christ, to walk in newness of life. I have received letters from people via the radio who are rejoicing because they heard the truth from God's word, and in some ways, attacking their sin, but it made a difference in their lives. It was the word of God, not me. It was the Holy Spirit of God using his word that made the difference. These Corinthians now that were saved and were trying to serve the Lord were known and read of all men. In other words, their life was a witness. That's why your life must be separate from this world. That's why you don't need to have rock and roll in the church or even in your personal life. That's why you don't need to dress like the world dresses. If you're a lady listening today, I'm going to insert this. Proverbs tells us there is the attire of a harlot. Don't reveal what only your husband should see, lady. Not even 1/1,000,000th of an inch should it reveal. If your top is that low, it's too low. If your skirt is not down there, that long skirt, if it's showing up your leg and things of that nature. Only what your husband should see. And so all you're stirring is lust. Oh, people think I'm cool. I'm with it. They'll think I'm pretty. Oh, they'll want to see this, you know, and all that. Yeah, they'll want to see it. And they'll think of you as a slut. That's not the way you want people to think of you. That's not the way you want to look at them. Now, years ago, there's a man that's now in heaven. I worked for him. I was just a young man, just been married a short time, probably a year. And it was in a Sears warehouse that I worked with him. And I had witnessed to him and talked to him. Every other word out of his mouth, it seemed like, was a cuss word. Many ways, he was funny. Other ways, he was a good guy. In other ways, he had a short fuse. But I remember one day, I evidently had talking and just living in front of him. He came up and said, guess what? I said, what? I'm going to be out of town. I'm leaving Monday, and I'm going up to Alabama, and I'm going to be hunting for the next 2 weeks. And it was his vacation time, and he was the manager of the warehouse. He says, I won't have to hear you or look at you again. And he said, as far as I'm concerned, you can take your God, and he told me where I could cram my God. And he walked off. I didn't smile, didn't laugh. I didn't say a thing to him. Just looked at him. The next morning, I was getting ready to hit the clock. I would hit the clock. I'd get there about 15 minutes early, try to hit the clock just before it was time to hit the clock. You know, they were very specific about when you could and could not hit the clock to start. And he said, "Hey, I need to talk to you." And I said, "Okay." Well, I said, "I'm not clocked in yet." And he said, "Go ahead and clock it in." He clocked it in for me, and he signed it. Being the manager, he could do that. He says, "Come back here with me in the warehouse." So I don't know what's going to happen now. He said, "Last night I went to bed, and he says, the strangest thing, it's like God told me that what I said to you, that he might kill me." And I was scared. He said, I was scared. I thought God was going to kill me. And he said, I went back and I thought of those things you told me about how to get saved. And I asked God to save me. I really did. Would you tell me once again how to get saved? I don't want to mess anything up. Well, I did go through it with him again. I believe he was already saved by that point. But got him in church. Wasn't my church. It was another church down where he lived. It was in the next town over where he lived. And got in church, became a deacon. And he, good old boy, he died, went to be with the Lord, oh, probably a good 20 years ago now. But, you know what? The thing that he hated, the witness that he hated, everything, it's not that I was great. I'm not. But the Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's like a hammer that breaks in pieces. That word stuck in his heart. And it brought the fear of God to his heart. And that's what we're to do. It's not how we do it. It's that we must do it. And not everybody's going to get saved. But whether they get saved or not, you do it, you will be rewarded. That's why we have standards. That's why we have things in our church, the way people dress, the way people talk, and all of that. We need to be something that can be read of all men. They need to see Christ in us. But they also need to hear the gospel through our lips, not just saying, well, they see me, they'll want to get saved. No, they need to hear the gospel get saved. Now, that friend of mine changed. And people could see the change in his life. All of a sudden, he quit cussing. He just quit cussing. He started going to church. He even asked me to come to his house. I went to his house. He's having a Bible study. He invited neighbors over. And I'm just saying that was years ago, but the Lord made a change. I didn't change his life. God did. But God did use me to share the gospel with him. And he didn't like it at first. But you see, the transforming work should have made letters of condemnation unnecessary, since their lives are the very letters that can be read of all men, of what Christ can do.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation.